From WCRB, welcome back to Tanglewood in the beautiful Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. I'm Ron Della Chiesa, and this Boston Symphony Orchestra concert with our music director, Andres Nelsons, will continue in just a few minutes with the Symphonie Fantastique by Hector Berlioz, a tour de force for orchestra, if ever there was one. To say that this piece is woven throughout the history of this orchestra would be really an understatement. In fact, it's been so prominent in Boston Symphony programs that several years ago, for one of the key moments in the narrative of the music, the orchestra had custom bells cast just for this piece. And you'll hear them soon. Yet it's also worth noting just how important the Symphonie Fantastique is to every orchestra. Aside from its sheer spectacular effect on us as listeners, it's simply one of the most significant works of music ever written for orchestra. And it all comes down to telling a good story, one that reflects some aspect of common human experience. Beethoven paved the way for painting its explicit images through orchestral music with the Pastoral Symphony. But that piece went only part of the way. Beethoven wasn't telling a story. He was really evoking states of mind in relation to meadows, storms, and villages in his Sixth Symphony. Berlioz, by contrast, is telling an actual story in music with the Symphonie Fantastique. He wrote a detailed narrative for his audience, laying out the plot of the five movements in sequence, all of it following a young, lovesick musician. In part one, we're given a picture of the musician as an empty, directionless character for whom everything changes when he meets his love for the first time, sparking, as the composer puts it, a volcanic outpouring of emotion. In part two, that takes us to a society dance where we see the loved one amongst friends. The music is graceful and beautiful, with just an occasional hint of simmering bitterness. Part three takes place in the countryside as our main character begins to feel doubt, wondering if his love is faithful as he hears shepherd's pipes from a distance. In part four, the musician dreams that he has killed his beloved. He's led to his own execution in the march to the scaffold, hearing one last tender time the theme of his love just before he's executed. Well, that theme is twisted and distorted in part five, The Dream of the Witch's Sabbath. In this concluding section of the work, the main character sees himself, as the composer writes, in the midst of a frightful troop of ghosts, sorcerers, and monsters of every kind who come together for his funeral, in which he hears strange noises, groans, bursts of laughter, distant cries, which other cries seem to answer. Well, that entire scenario grew out of the composer's own experiences. It was written when Berlioz was in the throes of an all-consuming, passionate infatuation with a British actress named Harriet Smithson, whom he hadn't even met when his feelings ran away with him. Nevertheless, rumors of her relationships spurred the composer to write his Symphonie Fantastique. Smithson heard one of the first performances of the piece, met Berlioz the next day, and within the year, they married. Well, the relationship was doomed from the start. According to Michael Steinberg's program notes, Smithson's French was roughly on the level of his English. The whole business was a disaster. By the time they separated 12 years later, Smithson had lost her looks, and an accident had put an end to her career. She died in 1854, an alcoholic and paralyzed. But that tragic outcome in no way diminishes the impact Symphonie Fantastique had on the music world. Berlioz, a genius in his use of the instruments of the orchestra, had simply changed concert music forever. Beethoven had exploded the conventional wisdom of how music could be constructed, not to mention what purpose it could serve. But it was Hector Berlioz who served as an example of creative storytelling to artists of all kinds during the 19th century, and of the expansion of musical possibilities to composers in particular. This work has been integral, as we said, to the BSO's history since close to the very beginning. In the orchestra's third season, Georg Henschel conducted performances of the second movement, The Waltz. Over the years since, you might say that it's always been on the top shelf of the BSO library, with great performances by former music directors Pierre Monteur, Charles Munch, and Seiji Ozawa, who made it an especially prominent part of their programs. Most recently, performances of Symphony Fantastique took place in February at Symphony Hall and at Carnegie Hall in New York City, led by our music director, Andras Nelsons. Always a great showpiece for this orchestra. John Demick, our stage director, who's had many performances, said that he treasures this as his favorite work performed by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And in a few moments, our music director, Andras Nelsons, now in his third season as our music director and the 15th music director in the history of the BSO, will be coming on stage to wrap up this afternoon's concert with the Berlioz Symphony Fantastique. By the way, this is the first piece I heard in Symphony Hall in the early 50s when Charles Munch conducted it, a performance I'll never forget. We're about to hear it again. Here's our music director, Andras Nelsons, coming on stage, shaking hands with Malcolm Lowe, concertmaster, to conduct the Boston Symphony Orchestra and one of the orchestra's signature pieces, the Symphony Fantastique by Hector Berlioz. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
With a final terrifying and exhilarating Dream of the Witch's Sabbath, the Symphony Fantastique by Hector Berlioz comes to an end, performed in concert here at Symphony, at Tanglewood, I should say, by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And conductor Andras Nelson is a piece that always gives me chills. Our conductor leaning out over the orchestra like a musical sorcerer. Those witches and ghosts dancing right outside the door of our broadcast booth, as well as the famous bells ringing out, played by percussionist Will Hudgens. Remember, concerts from Tanglewood are available to hear on demand at our website, classicalwcrb.org/Tanglewood. We'd also find our complete broadcast schedule, as well as a link to the Tanglewood box office to help plan your own trip to the Berkshires. Again, that's at classicalwcrb.org/Tanglewood. Our conductor, Andras Nelson's once again on stage, singling out members of the Boston Symphony Orchestra for their solos. WCRB, a part of WGBH Boston and the Boston Symphony, wish to acknowledge the many generous donors who make these Tanglewood concerts possible. We're also indebted to the musicians of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and to the Boston Musicians Association for their support of these broadcasts. We urge you to attend concerts out here at Tanglewood and throughout the community. This broadcast of the Boston Symphony is produced on air and online by Brian McCreath. Our audio producer is Tim Martin. And recording engineer is Joel Watts, with assistance from Douglas McKinney. Our thanks to Brunetta Horgan and Taryn Lott of the Boston Symphony Press Office, Mark Mandel and Robert Kurzinger of the BSO Publications Department, Bruce Creditor and Lynn Larson of the BSO Personnel Office, and the entire BSO and Tanglewood staff for all their help with these broadcasts. As the bravos and cheers continue from Tanglewood, I'm Ron Delachiesa. Thank you for joining us for this Boston Symphony Orchestra concert from WCRB, a part of WGBH Boston.